Our next outing, held at Muir Beach, was interesting chiefly because of the appearance of Owsley Stanley. Scion of a great Kentucky family, he'd applied his formidable will and intelligence to science, engineering, and dance. During his first experience with acid, he had found his calling, to be the Johnny Appleseed of LSD. At that time, he thought of himself as an alchemist, one who takes base metal and transmutes it into gold. We would later learn, through reading Jung and others, that alchemical terms were often metaphors for spiritual states. Although we played most of our standard repertoire at the tests, usually featuring Pigpen as the lead vocalist, since he wasn't too stoned to sing, our best music that night was Death Don't Have No Mercy. Seeing Kesey and Babs, sweat pouring off them, gyrating and undulating and screaming, "Yes! Righteous!" and similar ecstatic exhortations of approval, I thought that if we could grab those guys like that, we might just have something going. After Palo Alto, the test was ready for the big time, the Fillmore Auditorium. Much has been written about the role of the Fillmore in the then-emerging countercultural groundswell, but at that moment it was simply the best possible venue for our trip. A huge, for us, audience space, a wide, low stage, and, best of all, balconies on three sides, so that the light show and Prankster Central could spread out and be able to throw light on anything occurring in the hall. This test also marked the emergence of Mountain Girl, a.k.a. Carolyn Adams, a Stanford student from Poughkeepsie, New York, who had been introduced to the prankster scene by Neil Cassady, later to become one of the great loves of Jerry's life, as the prankster queen, at least in my eyes. She ended up being responsible, if that concept is even thinkable in this context, for mixing the multiple mutable audio loops connecting every part of the space with every other. Occasionally, her voice could be heard floating. The sound.